Test Yourself, Units 1 through 4. Part 1, Listening Comprehension. Section A, Directions. In this section, you will hear 10 short conversations. At the end of each conversation, a question will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the question will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the four choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on the answer sheet with a single line through the center.
Example. You will hear, "Is it possible for you to work late, Miss Gray?"
Work late? I suppose so. If you really think it's necessary.
Where do you think this conversation most probably took place? You will read, A, at the office, B, in the waiting room, C, at the airport, D, in a restaurant.
From the conversation, we know that the two were talking about some work they had to finish in the evening. This is most likely to have taken place at the office. Therefore, A, at the office, is the best answer. You should choose A on the answer sheet and mark it with a single line through the center.
1. Which is the capital city of California? San Francisco or Los Angeles?
They are the two largest cities in California in terms of population, but neither of them is the state capital.
What do we learn from the conversation?
2. Professor Everett, my name is Alice Wong. You may not remember me, but I took your basic chemistry last fall.
I do remember you, Miss Wong. You were not the very best in the class, but you asked good questions.
What is Professor Everett's impression of Alice Wong?
3. Chris, do you know the gentleman talking with Mary? He looks familiar, but I can't recall his name.
He is Mary's father, Professor David Robinson of the School of Political Science in this university.
What is the relationship between David Robinson and Mary? 4. Is there a Miss Smith in the house? Here is a package for her, but I need her signature.
Miss Smith is not here right now. Can I sign the receipt for her?
What is the man probably doing?
5. Tom, there is no need for you to return the book so soon. I will not use it in the next couple of weeks.
I know, but I have made a copy of the chapter which may be useful to me in writing my book review.
What is Tom probably going to do?
6. Brenda, before you answer my questions, I want you to know that all we care about is helping people to get well.
Yes, I know, but still I am afraid of the surgery.
What is the man's profession?
7. Mr. Sinclair, I need to discuss with you about Grace. She seems to be unable to concentrate in class recently.
Really? That's strange. She told us only yesterday that she likes school.
What do we learn about Grace from the conversation? 8. I admire your success, Mr. Fisk, and I especially admire those who made it to the top through lifelong hard work.
Thank you, Miss Walker. I too believe in hard work, even though luck may sometimes play a part.
What do we learn about Mr. Fisk from the conversation? 9. Mr. Christopher, a gentleman by the name of Brian Wallace is waiting downstairs. He says he has an appointment with you.
Yes. Tell him to go to the conference room, and I will be there in a minute.
What do we learn from the conversation? 10. Hi, Jack. Would you like to take me to the Central Park this afternoon?
I'm afraid not. I must write a letter and send birthday greetings to my mother.
What will Jack probably do?
Section B, Directions. In this section, you will hear 3 short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on the answer sheet with a single line through the center. Passage 1. Questions 11 to 14 are based on the passage you have just heard.
I was 15 when I walked into McCarley's bookstore in Ashland, Oregon, and began scanning the titles on the shelves. The man behind the counter, McCarley, asked if I'd like a job. I needed to start saving for college, so I said yes. I worked after school and during summers for a small wage, and the job helped pay for my freshman year of college. I would work many other jobs. I made coffee in the student union during college, was a hotel maid, and even made maps for the U.S. Forest Service. But selling books was one of the most satisfying. One day a woman asked me for books on cancer. She seemed fearful. I showed her almost everything we had in stock and found other books we could order. She left the store less worried, and I've always remembered the pride I felt in having helped her. At McCarley's bookstore, I always sensed I was working for the customers, not the store. Today, it's the same. As a television reporter, NBC News pays my salary, but I feel as if I work for the viewers, helping them make sense of the world.
11. For what purpose did the speaker go to McCarley's bookstore one day? 12. Why did the speaker take the job at the bookstore? 13. What does the speaker do now? 14. What remains the same for the speaker in spite of changes in her jobs?
Passage 2. Questions 15 to 17 are based on the passage you have just heard.
One evening, several years ago, on a visit to my hometown, I sat with my wife, my son, and my parents at a restaurant. After a wonderful dinner, the waiter set the bill in the middle of the table. That's when it happened. My father did not reach for it. Conversation continued. Finally, I realized that I was supposed to pick up the bill and pay for the dinner. After hundreds of restaurant meals with my parents, after a lifetime of thinking of my father as the one who paid for our meals, it had all changed. I reached for the bill, and my view of myself was suddenly changed. I finally became an adult before my parents. Some people mark off their lives in years. I measure mine in small events. I did not become a young man at a particular age, like 13, but rather when a kid walked into the store where I worked and called me Mister. He repeated it several times, looking straight at me. The realization came to me all of a sudden, me. I was suddenly a Mister. One day I bought a house. One day I became a father. And not too long after that, I picked up the check from my father. These events are milestones of my life.
15. What is the passage about? 16. In what way is the visit to his hometown significant to the speaker? 17. What can we infer from the passage?
Passage 3. Questions 18 to 20 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Shortly after moving to a small town north of San Francisco, I found a note in the mailbox from a neighbor. "We're so happy to have more children in the neighborhood," Rhonda Anderson wrote. "Please come for tea." A few days later, my 2-year-old daughter, Julia, and I made our way down a brick-lined path into a brand new friendship. In the 9 years since, Rhonda and I have been best friends. We have taken the kids to the zoo and the circus together. We have enjoyed many movies together. And we have even taken several trips abroad together. But it's the times we've leaned on each other that really come to mind. When storms knocked out the electric power, our family stayed together in candlelight. Once, I briefly left my 10-year-old daughter home alone and returned to find her held closely in Rhonda's arms. I felt sick, so I called Rhonda, Julia explained. Close friends are like that. A friend drops her plans when you're in trouble, shares joy in your accomplishments, and feels sad when you're in pain. A friend encourages your dreams and offers advice, but when you don't follow it, she still respects and loves you.
18. What is the relationship between Rhonda and the speaker? 19. When did the speaker's friendship with Rhonda start? 20. What are the times the speaker remembers best of her friendship with Rhonda?
This is the end of listening comprehension.